But good morning out there. Welcome into the Mornings of Box 2 Radio Network. You need to get those eggs scrambled, those bacon fried, that coffee brewing, whatever you got to do to wake up with us, because we're excited every weekday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. Central Time. We are here with you on the Box 2 Radio Network. It is exciting times in the kingdom. The Lord's doing mighty things in the earth, and we're so excited to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's July 18th, 2025. Had a nice little storm last night. I don't know what time I woke up, but I wasn't looking at my clock, so I just heard the storm and woke up and went back to sleep. That's peace be still. See, we've been teaching these kids all week about peace be still, and you just go back to sleep. Amen. Well, it is, again, Friday morning, so Miss Kaylee, you're with us. How are you doing?
All is well.
Let me guess. Wrong mic. I'm just so happy this morning. I don't even know what to push.
Amen. All is well.
Yeah, I played Come Alive because you didn't look very alive when you came in here.
So I was playing. I'm alive.
Come Alive for you to wake up this morning.
Yes.
So, Brother Rick, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I thought you was playing that song for me.
Well, whoever needs to receive it. Amen.
All right. Yeah, doing great. Amen. It's a wonderful day in the Lord.
Mm-hmm. I had back-to-back nights of sleeping 8 hours. I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah,
I feel so full of energy right now, I just may have a Holy Ghost Pentecostal old school fit.
Can you impart some of that?
Nope, sorry. You got to get your own.
Yep, it's only for who gets it.
Whosoever shall sleep 8 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
But it is good to be with you guys. I love being with you all 7 to 9 a.m. Central Time. Good morning to Owensboro, Kentucky, 98.3. Good morning to Highsville, Glasgow, 91.1. And good morning to the local crew, Litchfield, Hardinsburg, on 91.5. For our app listeners, we love you guys, and we're so thankful you're with us as well. We are geared up. We had a really great conversation yesterday. Really enjoyed it, talking about Hebrews 6. And we may move into Hebrews 10 eventually today and talk about how I believe, which we're not going to go in depth. And we may not get there. We'll see where the Holy Spirit takes us. We'll go. We'll go wherever He guides. If He goes left, I want to go left. If He goes right, I want to go right. And I want Him to lead. I don't want to go right and pull Him with me. I want to just go where He goes, steps where He steps, say what He says, and thinks what He thinks.
Amen.
Amen. Miss Hannah, how are you doing this morning?
Doing well.
Amen. I'm eating
blessed.
This. It's still healthy what I'm eating. It's egg and turkey sausage. 19 grams of protein to get your day started.
Oh, boy.
Amen. I never thought I'd be tracking grams of protein throughout my day, but boy am I.
It's amazing the things that you'll eat together when you're trying to get in protein.
Yeah.
It's not like you kind of throw out the window like your favorite, I don't know, like your favorite foods or your favorite meals. You kind of just put together what needs to be put together to get your protein in.
Yeah. Well, I'm really excited to try it. Me and Heather's going to try it because everybody knows the food I've missed the most since the last 2 or so weeks, whatever I've been on this diet, is mac and cheese. You know that little thing they do on memes, like, hello, old friend.
Oh,
I just see people eating mac and cheese. I just want to go, hello, old friend. I found online yesterday a recipe for cottage cheese mac and cheese that is packed full of protein, like packed. And then we also ate a protein pizza last night. It was pretty good. Then we found a recipe for another cottage cheese protein pizza that you make the crust out of cottage cheese, and you can have almost up to 40 grams of protein in one slice of pizza.
Wow.
So
yeah.
That's kind of what I'm talking about right there.
Yeah.
I can feel the muscle growing. Actually, I can't. It really hurts. To be honest with you, I'm not up to par working with Brother Rick yet. He would wear me out. I think Brother Rick could be the one that like stands over you and screams like, come on, you got it in you, come on.
Well, he's
don't ask the guys.
He's been through it.
Oh my gosh.
I'll be like, okay, I've tried. That's why I work out by myself. Nobody can make fun of me. But it's good. I really enjoy I'm really enjoying this. I always thought I would hate eating right. Are better, and once you get the hang of it, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
I don't, there's a lot of things I don't miss that I thought I would miss.
Yeah.
But,
I think the thing that makes it better is when you find stuff that you like okay, and then you kind of just eat the same things.
Mm-hmm. It's, the only thing I had, like you say, you're limited on where you can go, and it's very hard to find, to come up with a menu, for the week, because all you're thinking about, what am I going to eat now? What am I going to eat today? You know, and so planning out a meal plan for the week when you're on a diet is very hard.
Mm-hmm. Especially on VBS week.
Yeah.
yeah.
But we're seeing great things happen. We got one more regular night of our VBS, and then we've got our family day tomorrow. But we've had a great week, and a lot of kids are just having a blast and growing in the Lord. And I just love to see is Ethan coming on with us? Oh, man, I thought he was. I love to see, you know, the kids, especially the younger ones. Like, I think my, like, the coolest class I've got this year, and this isn't to, like, my preschool class is a lot of fun. Yeah. They're always fun. But you're just trying to teach them one thing. Like, just get one thing taught in the preschool class.
Yeah.
My third to fifth grade, which is basically a bunch of girls in Coton, they're really learning a lot and remembering a lot too. But honestly, my favorite class I've been with every night this week has been Kaylee's class of the kindergarten to second grader. They just been so,
they're so fun.
They're so good. Yes. Like, they just are a really fun class to be around. And we do our nature hikes, and
yeah,
we did one through the whole multi-purpose building yesterday.
They're really paying attention too. I think honestly, more than any class that we've had, at least we will ask them questions about the theme of the day and the scriptures and just things about the Lord. And it seems like they're paying attention.
They are. So. I don't know. It just blesses my heart to be able to see them actually. Like, going, like, every VBS I've ever helped with, the kids on the first day are, like, really shy. And then they open up real quick. And then, you know, they get wore out or whatever. But these kids, like, they were open and receptive on the very first night.
Yeah.
I like the music. And I know that Hannah and Brother Todd gets their workout for the day. Yeah, I mean, you figure how long that 2 hours of going back and forth in classes. That's a lot.
And Hannah goes hard every time.
Yeah, she does.
I really
do. She's into it.
I'm like, I'm not wasting an opportunity. Well, honestly, I felt kind of, I honestly felt from the Lord, like, about that with dancing. And we talked about that with the kids, like, because we talked about how he, you know, yesterday was he loves us. He so loved us that he gave his life.
Yeah.
And I said, he gave it all for us, so we should give it all for him.
Amen.
And so I've been trying to give it all, and it'll wear you out.
I had a pastor in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, when I was in the military. And he believed in doing everything he did. He believed in doing it with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's just the way he was. And so you kind of dreaded the day that he would play the piano, because it was like he would play the piano so hard, it was like the piano was bouncing on the floor. I mean, it was like, oh my goodness, he's really into this, you know. And if he played the bass, I mean, it was loud. I mean, whatever he did, he just did it hard and loud. And, you know, but that's kind of like what you're saying, you know, we need to do what we're doing, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, we need to do it for the Lord. Everything we've got, we should put in. And that includes our daily lives and how we live it, you know, with everything.
Absolutely. I noticed myself at one point thinking, my flesh was thinking, oh, when's this song going to end? But then I was like, oh, my soul, remember. And then I just started thinking about the lyrics and just praising the Lord. So he's worthy.
I got an easy job. I just talk.
But yeah. You do great at it, though.
And, You're good at talking.
I noticed that I don't think you've done it again. I liked the first night when you come out from on the treehouse.
Yeah.
And you come out. I thought that was really cool.
That was cool.
We've got some things planned tonight.
Okay.
There's some plans tonight.
Oh.
So we got it.
Okay.
Yeah. Tonight's going to be pretty fun.
Yeah.
So at that first little section, it's going to be really good. So we're working on it, getting all the details in there. What, Kaylee, you getting nervous or something here?
Yeah, I'm getting nervous.
Well, we might have to find somebody else for the dance battle.
That's what I'm saying.
Because it was supposed to be, Kaylee's supposed to be in there.
I'm there.
And Colton. But now Colton, I think, is supposed to be gone.
We can cancel. We can.
We still got tomorrow.
Okay.
We still got tomorrow. You going to dance against Colton? You're going to lose. No, I've seen Colton dance.
Well, apparently Colton, it really got to his heart because when he found out, his mom told him he wasn't able to come and he wasn't able to do the dance battle, he said, "Mom, how am I going to break this to Miss Hannah? You're going to have to be the one to tell her. You're telling her tonight."
Oh, me.
It's so fun. But we are having a great week. We have one more night. If you haven't been out, come out tonight. We'd love to have you tonight. And it's a great time. I know Clark's community is having a tremendous and amazing VBS themselves over there. Shepherd House got one going on in Glasgow, Kentucky. There's a lot of great events happening. You can find those on our app in that announcement tab. And we are just excited for what the presence of the Lord is going to do in these kids' lives and the remembrance that they'll have in their hearts forevermore, that they'll remember things they learned this week for the rest of their life, and they'll remember the times of dance, and they'll remember the times of fun. And I remember my time still in kids. Now, I don't remember much from, you know, early age.
Main thing I remember is when I got in trouble for talking so much.
I did that a little bit too. But we are expecting another great night tonight. So if you haven't been out and you want to find somewhere to go, come on out. We start about 5:30 with registration, and then 6 o'clock the actual event starts, and we've got a great night ahead of us tonight. We are excited for that, especially that first part. We're really excited about that tonight. So come out and be with us. Amen?
Amen.
All right, we are in the book of Marcus. I'm just kidding. It should be called Marcus. It'd be cool. All right, Mark. We're in the book of Mark. Todd Mingus. Oh, I just seen this, Todd. It's such a blessing to minister to these kids this year. The Lord is moving. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Not almond.
Yeah. Amen. Every time you say it, I hear almond.
Almond?
Every time. Well, I think I'm a cringe.
You don't like almonds?
No, I love them, but.
I love almonds. Let's see here. Where are we at, Hannah? I can't remember where we left y'all yesterday.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I don't have I'm sorry. I'm like out of sorts right now.
I think we're at verse 17. Because we did the let the little children come to me yesterday. And so we are at verse 17.
Yes, we did.
What chapter?
When he suffered chapter the 10. Children. Not yeah. So 17, yeah.
So chapter 10 of the Gospel of Mark, verse 17. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your mother and father." And he said to them, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." And disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So this is what we know as the rich young ruler. And this man was coming up to Jesus, and he's like, "I want to receive eternal life." And he said, "Good teacher." Now, Jesus said, "Why call me good? There's none good except God." Now, that verse has been much talked about over the years, of course, and we use it a lot of different fashions. Really, what I personally see going on here is, and everybody else can chime in what they see and unpack as well, I really see it as this young ruler is seeing Jesus through the lens of earthly goodness. Like, he's just seeing this morality. He's just seeing this. And that's what a lot of times we look at. Like, we say, well, that's a good old boy, right? Like, they're just a good old boy. Mm-hmm. They don't really do this, and they don't really do that. And we're defining goodness based upon moral constructs. And I think anytime you do that, what we'll have then is a insufficient definition and unpacking of what goodness really is. Because Jesus is trying to point them, don't look at the earthly sense of goodness. There's none good on the earth except God. And if you're going to have a real definition of goodness, you need to see goodness through the lens of the Father, not goodness through the lens of just solely morality. Because there's moral people that's Muslims. There's moral people that Hindus. There are moral people that are other religions. There's moral people that go to church every single Sunday. But that doesn't mean any of them are good in the sense of what God calls good.
Right.
And I think this is what Jesus is even starting to deal with here, is stop seeing me through the lens of moral goodness and start looking through the lens of the heavenly goodness of what Father God is actually trying to get us to see his goodness. So that's kind of what I see that phrase that's been talked about a lot going on. But I'd love to hear everybody else's opinion.
You know, I believe this young man thought he was a good man. And I think that it's a lot like a lot of us, maybe before we came to the Lord, and I've talked to many people when witnessing to people, and you start talking to them about sin and all this, and they start saying, well, you know, I give to my neighbor, I give to the poor, I do this, I do that, but are they really giving? Are they really putting their heart into it? So Jesus is really looking at this man and saying, you know, you have a thing with money, and I think it might have been a prideful thing that this young man had. And Jesus didn't always require everybody who served him to go out and sell everything that they have and come and serve him and give to the poor. But this man really had a need to let go of the money, because he had the love of, I believe, of money. And, of course, we know that that brings about sin. And so the possessions that he had, he thought that that held him in high stature and that he should be able to get blessed and inherit the kingdom of heaven. But the kingdom of heaven is not about what you have. It's about what you don't have. I don't have Jesus, so I'm willing to give up everything to receive Christ, because he's most important in my life. And that's the part that the rich young ruler, or the man, missed, that it wasn't his money that he needed, it was Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I was looking up the difference between, sorry, my face was in my phone, but I was looking up in the Strong's, the word that was used for good here. And then, because I've always thought about when this verse, like, it's, you know, Jesus says, there's none good, no, not one. And we joke with little Ezra, because yes, he's always saying, I good. And we say, there's none good. But
don't tell that baby that.
There's a difference. He is good as far as creation, because I was looking up the word for when God said that his creation was good. Yes. And that word is completely different. That's why I kind of hate our language sometimes, that we use the same word. Like, I don't feel like we need to translate the same word for God calling his creation good and what this man is saying is good. Does that make sense?
Right.
Like, we don't, I feel like that is just, I wish we could put a different word there. Right. Than this, and not make those two the same.
Uh-huh.
But this definitely has connotation of moral. Generosity is one of the parts of this word, mm-hmm, right here. Generous, good man, kind, all of those things that make up, like, your morality.
You know, there's a lot of people who have things that are Christians. And I know they love the Lord, and God has blessed them richly. What some people don't understand is that God can trust people, some people, with money, because they do give to the poor. They do see to the needs. They do see to the growing of the kingdom, and them providing finances. I mean, Jesus never rebuked his friends that were rich. I mean, the one that his friend that died, I think.
Lazarus.
Lazarus was a rich man, and he helped provide for a lot of Jesus and the disciples' journey. He gave them money, but he didn't tell him to go out and sell everything. But it was because he was providing for, he was giving to, he was making sure that they had when they needed. So he had a different heart. So it's our heart, it's our mind. Was this young man given to the poor to start out with? Was he sharing what he had? Was he giving it? And I feel like maybe he might have had a bad spirit about him, and Jesus knew it. Mm. And that's why Jesus was so strong on, go and sell what you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me. And that's hard for a lot of people to say, you know. Well, you think about it, people say, you know, well, you mean I have to give up smoking? You mean I have to give up drinking? You mean I have to give up this? Yes, you do. You know, if you want to follow the Lord, you follow the Lord with your whole heart. You get rid of the stuff of the world. And that was the problem with this guy. He had stuff of the world. Mm. And that's what stood between him and Jesus and the kingdom of heaven.
Wow. I hope Mr. Todd is listening right now, because that's exactly what we talked about to the teenagers yesterday.
Oh, okay.
About what, not necessarily material things, but we opened it up to everything. Like what Mr. Todd opened up, what stands between you and the Lord.
Right.
Because for a lot of people, there's one thing.
One thing.
That is the apple of your eye, basically.
That's
and
right.
That thing will keep you from the Lord if it's not put aside. And the Lord, and he was saying, it's not that those things have to be gone, because
right.
They might be a good thing. It might be there's that word good again. It might be a permissible thing, or even a beneficial thing.
Sure.
But if it's in the place of the Lord, then it's always going to keep us from drawing near to him and knowing him. And so that's cool.
It reminds me of the scripture, wherever your heart be, your treasure lies.
Yeah.
So with this, it's like his treasure, his heart lied in just the things that were going to fade.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so the Lord was trying to catch his gaze, to place his heart in something that was eternal.
Mm-hmm.
So that he wouldn't have to deal with the woes, the sorrows of the other stuff fading away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I don't know, it's just... And also, like, the no one is good. Like, in my footnotes or whatever, it says something along the lines of, you know, true goodness is the prerogative of God, yet the man had called Jesus good teacher. If Jesus was only a teacher, then he did not deserve to be called good. On the other hand, if he was indeed good, then he was God. Whether or not this is a veiled claim to deity, Jesus directs the man's attention to God, the mm-hmm. ultimate standard of goodness.
That's mm. right. You know, we like to claim things that is not ours.
Right.
Our children are not ours. They're ours to teach and to bring up and to teach them about the Lord and to teach them responsibility, to teach them respect, to teach them the thing. But they're not ours. They're God's. And that's the way with everything in our life. Our monies, they're God's. All our money. You think about, would you have your job if God didn't give you your job? Would you have your money if God didn't give you your money? Would you have anything, whether you have your food? We're born in a blessed nation. Can you imagine if you was born in a third world nation? So God has planted you here for a reason. He's planted us here for a reason. And our job is for ministry and to bring glory to him. And if we're not doing that, we're missing out on things. And I think this rich young ruler, this young man that had came to him, he wasn't thinking about really receiving. He just wanted, hey, just tell me I'm going to heaven. Just tell me I'm good enough. And Jesus was like, no, I'm not telling you that. You know, and I think that some of us get caught up in that sometimes. Jesus, I go to church every Sunday. I sit there on the pew. I could get my check mark in there. And, hey, that's not serving the Lord. That's good you went to church to learn. But if you're not learning, then it's not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not practicing your faith, that's not good enough.
Amen. I think this is something that we see a lot right now in our day and time. Like, yes. This is so relevant.
It is.
Especially, like you said, where we live. Because I think about that, like, all the different scriptures where Jesus talks about the rich. Like,
mm-hmm.
And I think about who would have been rich then.
Right.
And who is rich now. And that's us. Like, yeah. Like, we are so much more rich than the rest of the world.
Yes.
Yeah. And as you all said a little bit before, I think with this rich young ruler, the Lord sees the depths of our heart.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And I think he really did expose the depths of this guy's heart. The the guy wanted to be affirmed, but the guy did not want to follow.
Exactly.
Right. And he left disheartened because of the fact that he went away sorrowful. And because he had great possessions, like basically saying he couldn't let go of them.
Right.
And a saying we said a lot is, it's one thing to have money, it's another thing for money to have you. And money is just a tool that goes in your hand and out your hand. Money is just a tool used to build the kingdom of God. Money is a tool that's used to do exchange and marketing and all that. Absolutely. But money is just a resource. It's not the end game. And anytime money becomes your master, Jesus says, you can't serve both. And that was the exposure of this guy's heart. He thought he was good, but in reality, he's chose money over Jesus.
Yes.
And Jesus was trying to get him to count the cost before he follows, and he wasn't willing to pay the cost.
Uh-huh.
And he just went away, you know, really upset. And that's where Jesus gets into verse 23. And Jesus looked around and said to the disciples, how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Not saying impossible, but how difficult.
That's
and
right.
The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, children, how difficult is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And so that's not talking about, like, when I was first read that, I was thinking an actual needle thing. Well, that's impossible.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But that's basically just a rock in the side of a wall. And now it was possible for camels to get on their knees,
yeah,
and crawl through what we would call the eye of the needle, but it was very difficult. And that's what Jesus was alluding to. He's saying it's not impossible, but it does take sacrifice and it does take great effort. And it's not saying that he's earning or anything, but there has to come this choice of, like, I'm going to follow Jesus or I'm going to follow my wealth. I'm going to follow Jesus or I'm going to follow my sin. And we want to qualify ourselves, but also I think it shows the great dilemma and the that a lot of us think we're a lot better than we are, and we're not receiving Christ because we think we have enough already.
Mm. True.
And I think this guy was expecting his works and his morality to be the saving grace upon his life.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is like, this is not what you need me. But so often we really do trust our own. There's nothing wrong with undefiled religion. James talks about it. What's wrong with religion is when it becomes defiled in the sense of, what can I do to get to God? The gospel says Jesus came to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that all we have to do is believe, and then we shall have everlasting life. And this is what Jesus is trying to get him to do, because anytime you're trusting in something other than Jesus and you expect that to be the saving grace upon your life, that's what Isaiah says is filthy rags. And you must be careful of that. And this guy thought his giving was a thing that was going to qualify. His money was going to be a thing that makes him distinctively different. And you can be rich and love Jesus. You can be poor and love Jesus. But you cannot be poor and rich first and Jesus second and still love
right.
Jesus.
Right.
It's Jesus above all.
Mm-hmm.
It's Jesus above all. And everything that we have becomes a living sacrifice for him. It's alive. It's, here you go. You want it? You can have it. You're worthy of it all. And honestly, when we sing that song, you're worthy of it all, how often do we really mean that with every fiber of our body? We think of you're worthy of it all when we get to heaven and everybody sings the song, but what about he's worthy of it all right now? He's worthy of it all right now. I was listening to a parenting podcast, and it's funny how your podcasts change over time, because I used to listen to, like, theology 24/7, and now I'm listening to Godly Manhood and Parenting and Husband and all that kind of stuff. It's what dominates me. And I was listening yesterday, and just they were talking about, and we got to go to break, but I'll make this quick. This guy was talking about he was actual baseball coach. He's a pastor and a coach. And I was like, hey, I feel that. And he was talking about, what do you do whenever your kid has that tournament game on a Sunday morning? And they need your kid because your kid's one of the better ones. And he's like, you're the coach, and you got one of the better kids in the team, and they don't have much of a chance without winning. He says, what you do in that moment determines for the rest of your life, your kid's life, what you set is importance.
Wow, yeah, that's so true.
He said, it's just one ball game.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you going to show them? Are you going to show them meeting with God's people and assembling and worshiping the Lord? Or are you going to say, the ball game?
Right.
And this is where that phrase, you're worthy of it all, comes into play. Are you worthy? Is he worthy or is he not?
Amen.
Because when he's really worthy of it all, you'll lay it all down.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love the challenges. He gave a lot of really good insight and a lot of things with parenting yesterday. I really enjoyed that podcast tremendously when I was spreading some gravel. But it was just, I really appreciate him bringing that analogy out, because so many times we just think it's just one Sunday or something. But that one Sunday could set a marker in our kid's life.
So true.
That the rest of their life they're thinking, this is just one Sunday. Or it's just one thing. It's not that big of a deal. But that one Sunday, as I so often know, turns into two.
Yeah.
And then two turns into four. And then before you know it, there's a habit forming that we don't need to meet with God's people and assemble. And this is where we're at in the earth today of, you know, people are claiming to love Jesus, but they don't like God's people.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's just, it's not things that flow well together, because if you love the Lord, you love his people, because you know why? He loves them. And you can't wait to be with God's people.
Amen.
You can't wait. It's not about a religious thing. It's not about, if I don't go to church today, I'm going to go to hell or anything like that. It's like, I want to meet with God's people, because together we're going to meet with Jesus.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to worship the Lord. And that trumps any baseball game. That trumps any tournament. That trumps anything, to meet with God's people. And I think I just really appreciate him taking that stand on his platform that he does have, because it's like he was just saying, you're setting the pace for your children. You're teaching in that moment. You're showing them what's the most important thing at that moment. And I was just thinking of that, like that rich young ruler couldn't get it. He's saying, here it is, I have this opportunity, and I'm going to choose my money.
Mm-hmm.
And he went away disheartened, because I don't think he was disheartened so much. Now, this is just me, and I could be wrong. I don't see him so much disheartened because he just couldn't do it. I saw him disheartened because he wanted Jesus to affirm him, and he wouldn't.
Yep.
And it was just, I'm not letting you stay there.
He was so used to everyone else affirming him.
Probably.
I mean, he was so used to getting things handed to him, or it just being easy and not having to lay anything down or sacrifice.
People, like, fueling the ego.
Yes. So that when Jesus came up against that flesh, it was like, and it was different for him, so.
Yeah. All right, well, let's do our trivia question. We're going to take a break and then come back in here, Kingdom Corner, and then we'll keep marching forward in some Bible questions and conversations. Amen. Alrighty. Thursday question number one. Where does God where does God ask Jacob to build an altar? Gotta get that out. Where does God ask Jacob to build an altar? 270-257-2689. We will be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. Welcome back in on this beautiful day. I have not heard the phone ring yet, but I know you're out there because you texted me. So I know somebody is listening. Where somebody, maybe just one, but at least that's somebody. Just somebody trying to tell everybody.
Okay, let's go moving on.
Save my soul.
Where does God ask Jacob to build an altar? This is an easy one. Like,
okay, call.
Yeah, I would if I could.
Can I give a hint?
I love that song too. Just the mention of the name makes a way. Amen.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, Hannah, you ready for Kingdom Corner?
I reckon.
All right, take us off. Then we'll get into some more Bible Q&A.
Okay. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind and having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. I love this portion, and there's times that I go to different verses within this passage, but I love the point that, you know, we're given like a little, it's not little, it's pretty big, but we're given a commandment. We're giving a task here that, and it's an encouragement too, that if we participate in the Spirit, if we have, if we are in the faith, then complete, you know, Paul is saying complete my joy, but really we know he says follow me as I follow Christ. So it's not only completing his joy, it's completing Jesus's joy.
Right.
When we are of the same mind, when we are having the same love, when we're in full accord. See, that's the thing, like, we can't view this word as, well, these are this is what Paul wanted because he was the one writing it, because he clearly distinguishes when he had a wisdom to give. He says this is coming from me. He makes clear note, but whenever it's coming from the Lord, we know that this is inspired, and we know that these are truths of God. So by all of these things, it's going to complete joy in Jesus. It's gonna please him. It's gonna be a pleasing sacrifice to him. And so all that to say, I love though how it concludes with, like, you know what? I'm asking you to have humility. I'm asking you to be in unity with one another as you're in unity with the Father, because that's what Jesus shows us how to do that. Uh-huh. He is that. And the part that just blows my mind is just how he valued creation so much that he was willing to give up. Not, I mean, we focus on that he gave his life, which is most important, but also it is so powerful that he surrendered his divinity. Amen. He surrendered, like, how we, you know, we're talking about the rich young man who didn't want to surrender the things that made him wealthy. Jesus surrendered everything that made him wealthy. His heavenly attributes, his all-knowingness, the omniscience, the authority, that which he still had the authority through the Holy Spirit, but the glory, I mean, the glory that we're all looking forward to and seeking to enter right now, he surrendered that. And that word, or that part where it says he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, I looked into that, and it's eager seizure, something to hold on to, or something retained with, to deem as a prize, an eager grasp. So he knew how valuable that was to be equal, to have that divinity, but he did not count it a thing to be grasped. So he did not count it more important than what his assignment was.
Yes.
And that is such good news, because that shows truly how much he is in submission to the Father and how much he loves the creation.
Amen.
He loves us. And he, from the foundation of the world, had a plan and had a mission and a heart. Not just a mission just so that, you know, he can receive, but so that all can receive. He wants all to share. That's the beauty of this. He wants us to share, and that's what he's saying. Like, he wants us to care about one another as much as he, you know, we can't, we don't have the capacity to without him, but through him and through the Holy Spirit, we can love one another and have that care for one another,
right,
and have that same mind and same accord. It says having the same love.
Uh-huh.
And to have humility and to not do things from selfish ambition. He made the way so that we can start to live this way.
Yep.
Because this is how we will live for all of eternity.
Amen.
And that is amazing, that we will live like this. There will be perfect love for all of eternity, perfect unity. And so anytime that that's not happening right now, because it's available to us, we know that the flesh is evident.
That's it.
That there's sin evident. And it's just a, we should use any situation when, because things are going to happen along the way, because we still live in this fleshly body and we still live in a sinful world. We should use it not as something to, you know, be like this young man that we talked about that just goes away sorrowful, but
right,
we should let it be a motivation for us,
uh-huh,
to keep pressing on towards the mark. And Amen. Keep pressing forward and growing and learning in these things. And so, you know, we can be a servant because he shows us how to be a servant. We know through prophecies and things like that, that the sin will continue to grow rampant. Disunity will continue. We know that that's going to happen. We can see pockets of revival and growth, but towards the end of the end, we know that things are going to get dark. But at the same time, we see that the church is going to get brighter and closer to Jesus, because when he comes, we're going to be ready. His faithful ones are going to be ready.
Right.
So that's the encouragement, is no matter how dark it seems, no matter how much disunity we see around us, or maybe even we've messed up and we have, you know, came into that. We have ought against our brother or sister. Maybe we have got into strife and quarreling and fighting, and no matter what it is, I was talking to somebody about this the other day. His mercies are new every morning.
Every morning.
And if we have a heart turned towards him, no matter what we did yesterday, today is a new day.
That's right.
And we can set our eyes and fix our gaze on him and start looking at the light that is growing brighter of his remnant, of his people, of the true ones who have their heart truly turned towards him. And he's going to continue. He promised us this work that he started in us, he will complete it, and he will finish it.
Amen.
And he will he's conforming us into the image of the Son.
Praise
and
God.
So that is all part of this, of what he's saying, that this might seem hard if we're honest with ourselves.
Yes.
Now if we're not honest with ourselves and we're thinking like this rich young man, we're like, oh yeah, we got that. Like, it's dangerous to think, like, I got this, because it's usually just a lie.
That's
right. When we're honest with the Lord, and we're like, Lord, I have been looking to my own interests more than I've been looking to my neighbor.
Yeah.
When we acknowledge that, and we confess it to him, and then we let him show us the way.
That's right.
That's the first step. And it's we talked about this yesterday, too, and I'll, you know, get off of this, and we can get into Bible. But if we have a care in us, if we care about the fact that we've sinned, if it bothers us, if it's something that we're thinking about and we're caring about, that's a good sign. I just want to say that to some people out there, that maybe the enemy has been, you know, beating you up and you've been doubting your salvation, or you've been doubting, am I doing this right? Like Greg said yesterday, what am I doing? God, are you still there? If you have that desire in you, that care in you, to get sin, for sin to be out of your life and
right.
you to be closer to the Lord, that means the Lord's working in you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a good, good thing. And so just be encouraged that these things, you don't have to do them separate from the Lord.
Right.
The Lord will empower us to do these, to not do things from selfish, to look at other people more significant than ourselves. And he often works, I don't know about you guys, but with one thing at a time.
Yes.
You know, he doesn't overwhelm us in the sense of like condemning and his burden is light, is what right. I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And he reminded me of that. I love when I get like a verse of the day and it's something neat, because I had just a lot of things just weighing on me. And the verse of the day popped up, for his burden is easy, his
and yoke is easy, and come light.
Come to me, all ye labor and I will give you heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And it's like, okay, Lord, you know, he can speak through anything, and he will. And so if anyone's struggling with any of this, with just looking at the word and listening to the preaching and knowing that you need to change some things in your life, yes. but maybe you feel overwhelmed, like, I don't know where to start, just look to Jesus, because right. relationship with him is where it starts.
Amen.
Relationship with him and seeking him is how you even understand what he's trying to tell you.
That's right.
So just keep looking to him.
You know, as she was reading that, you know, so many people is focused on yesterday's failure. What you did yesterday, you cannot change. Mm-hmm. There's no way you can go back and change that. But today is a new day in the Lord. And so what you missed yesterday, you can do today. If you didn't give yesterday, you can give today.
Yep.
If you didn't serve yesterday, you can serve today. If you didn't love your neighbor yesterday, you can love your neighbor today. And so we have that opportunity. So let's do it. Don't, you know, we shouldn't keep trying to have a failure day and always looking back and say, man, I did it again.
Yep.
I did it again. No, today is the day of our salvation. So we need to go out and do what we thought, or what's in our mind, or what God has revealed to us was our failure yesterday, so we don't have a failure today. Mm-hmm. And because sometimes we focus too many times on our failure instead of upon the gifts and the good love of the Lord. So let us do what we're supposed to do, so we don't have that regret and that failure.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy's got an uncle that I try to go see, and you know, he's 91, getting ready to be 92 years old, and he can't get out, he can't go nowhere, and he just longs for somebody to come by and visit him, which he does have a few people, but it's close family, you know, there's no others. And so he loves it whenever I take time out to go over there and see him. He's like, I'm glad, you know, that I've got another man to talk to, and somebody who will just sit and listen to me. Because, you know, he likes to talk about the past, you know, when they get older like that. And so you just let him talk. And that's what I do. Just go in there and I just sit there and listen to him. And he just talks. And even though all the stories is the same, I get a joy out of hearing him again, because I know he has a joy in mm-hmm. saying them again.
Mm-hmm. And that's when you have that love, when the Holy Spirit produces that fruit of the Spirit, that godly, that agape love
uh-huh.
for someone, no matter, it's almost like that love that you have for a child. Like, no matter what the person does, yes. if it would normally get on your nerves or aggravate you or whatever it is, that love overpowers whatever yes. that fleshly feeling is.
That's right.
And I'm so thankful for that, Lord, because life is so much more rich and full when we have that love.
Yes.
Because it keeps us, it is what keeps us unified. You know, Amen. The scripture is true. It's what keeps us in one mind and in one accord. It's what keeps us from divisions. It's what keeps us from separation. Because when we abide in Christ and Christ abides in us, we are abiding with the rest of the body. Because there's no way to, and we talked about this earlier, there's no way to hate our brother in Christ when we're in Christ.
That's right. Right.
How is it possible? Because our brother is in Christ. So if we hate our brother, then we hate Christ.
Right.
And that's the hard truth to realize. We can't be separate.
That's
because
right.
we are, he made the way for us to be one with him as yes. he is one with the Father. So that means we're all in this thing.
Amen.
We're all in the same. I know we use the word body. We use the word body all the time, but he's not kidding when he says no. body.
Yes.
You know, so like who would harm their own body?
Yeah.
I think we forget about that. Like we hear body and we're just like, yeah, we're the body. We are the body. But if we really think about our body, who would just go cut their arm off?
Right.
Because it's hurting you and it's hurting the Lord, because the Lord is the head of the church. So that's a word too for us to remember when we're treating our brothers or sisters in Christ one way.
You know, I believe this. First time I heard this, I had never thought of it, but I heard someone say one time, you know, if you're praying for your brother, you won't talk about your brother. Mm-hmm. If you're staying in prayer, you won't be looking down your nose at them. You won't be judging them. You're praying for them, and you're lifting them up. So it's hard to lift somebody up and put them down at the same time.
Mm. Kaylee, are you listening?
That's good.
You can't put me down and pray for me at the same time.
You have the same headphones on that I do. Because
you're in the same body.
No, it's a good word. It's a good, strong word. I love it. And
oh, that does mean, too, we should be hearing the same things from the Spirit. Ooh. Because we have the same ears. Mm. We should, if we're in the body. So, and that's how we can keep each other accountable.
Amen.
And mm-hmm. confirm things.
I'm hearing and receiving about you.
I'm rebuking the blockage.
So if we're all in agreement that our left leg over there is not.
I'm just the pinky toe.
Just the pinky toe.
Just the pinky toe.
You catch every corner.
But the pinky toe, when it hurts, every part of your body hurts.
Throws your balance off.
Oh, I just got something. Wow. So
about a pinky toe?
No.
Oh.
Two of them.
I was just thinking about how James and John said to Jesus, you know, that they wanted to be his right hand and, you know, sit on each side. If Jesus is the head, then they were asking to be the shoulders. And that's why he was saying, you don't know what you're asking for.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because the shoulders are holding the weight.
Burden.
Yeah,
the burdens.
Wow. Yeah.
Mm. That just clicked.
That's pretty
Lord.
Good.
Yeah. Well, yesterday there was, I made a statement and it always kind of drives a little thing, and there's always a question that follows up. We was talking about hell a little bit yesterday, just for a second, about something. I forgot how we got there, but and then I said, the Father don't send people to hell. We send ourselves. We're being judged. It's not God's fault we're going to hell. So it's the age old question. So many people ask, and I got to ask this just recently, like, how can a loving God send people to hell?
Mm-hmm.
And let me just say this, like, yes, it's the Lord that's the great judge, but God's not up there sending people that just because he wants to. We're rejecting the Son. We're living in sin. Sin is the cause of people going to hell, not because of the Father. Like, the Father's the judge, absolutely. I want to clarify this. He is judge and juror. We'll face the great white throne of judgment one day. Yes, absolutely. Everybody will go to either the judgment seat of Christ or great white throne of judgment. Like, we're going to go there. But at the end of the day, God's not up here just going, you're going there and you're coming here. No, it is our sin and our rejection of the atonement that sends us to hell. And we keep on blaming God for all of these bad things that happens in the earth. And we blame God for this and we blame God for that. And yet he has given us free will to choose. A lot of things happen in the earth today. He is sovereign. Like, I want to clarify that. I'm 100% behind the sovereignty of God. You cannot convince me any other way other than the sovereignty of God. But in his sovereignty, he allows things to take place.
Mm-hmm.
Could he stop it? In a second. But he's allowing it to take place. And one of those things he's given allowance to is our free will.
Mm-hmm.
And our free will has true reproduction and true consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things happen in the earth today. We say, well, why would God do this? Why does God do that? Why does God do that? And we have to reiterate, God isn't doing it. We are doing it.
Right.
And yet we keep blaming God. And so I think there's just that age-old question of, if God is so good, why is there war? If God is so good, why is there this or why is there that? And I want to reiterate, just because God is allowing something to happen in his sovereignty does not mean he's actively doing it. There's a separation, a distinction there. And I think we don't talk about that much. And a lot of people who are looking for a way out or looking to come against the Lord or looking for this, they're always coming and saying, it's God's fault. Look at what God did over here. Look what God did there. God did this genocide. God did this. And it's not. It's men. and his sovereign allowance of us to have free will, we're choosing, and things that we choose to do has great consequences.
Amen.
And so I just wanted to clarify that statement I made yesterday. I figured I could do it in 2 minutes. But I don't believe that God just sitting up there waiting to send people to hell. I think his will is that all men, his heartbeat is not that any should perish, but all should have life.
Yeah.
That's his will. That's what the Bible says, that all men would come into repentance. That's Amen. His heartbeat.
Well, the end of the wages of sin are death.
Mm-hmm.
And sin opens up to all works of darkness, all works of evil. So if God allowed sinners in heaven, then that would disrupt the perfection of glory.
Right, right.
And it would allow God's people and God and all of heaven and all of everything that's perfect and spotless to be tainted and to be harmed. Like,
right.
God would not be holy because he would be allowing his perfection to be harmed and tainted if he let sinners enter into heaven. And that's why he had to remove Adam and Eve from the garden, because
right.
he could not allow them in a sinful state to have those that mm-hmm. door open in a place of perfection. And
that's
so
right.
it's not just we are sending ourselves there, and we have to know that, but we also have to understand what sin is, and that God is, everything that he says is completely true. He's completely holy. He cannot contradict himself because he is perfect.
Right.
So it's impossible for sin to coexist for the rest of eternity, for sinners who are not willing to repent.
That's right.
To coexist with perfection.
But none has to go there.
That's right. You know, God, in talking about with sin, it's like two magnets. When you turn them the opposite way, and they have, is it the reverse polarity? Is that
yeah?
Is
they
that what
won't come together.
They won't come together. It pushes away. It is impossible to do that. And that's the way God is with sin. It's automatically got to go away. It can't stay. It can't come in there, come around him, and he's just not going to.
But it's like he gets this rap of his personality is just to be hateful and vengeful.
Yeah, he's mm-hmm. not that away.
And it's not his personality. You can see all through the scripture, and Jesus, the express deity of who the Father was. And I think in this we see that the Lord so loved us
mm-hmm.
that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. Like, his will is that we would all receive the atonement.
Receive. Amen.
That's his heartbeat. And I don't think he desires to send anyone to hell.
No.
Mm-mm.
But he won't also, as much as he is loving, he's all loving, but he's also all right. And he's all just. And
it wouldn't be right.
And curses the man who basically justifies a wicked sinner.
Kind of reminds me of the, I was watching a movie, and this guy,
well, can we hold that just for a second? We're 2 minutes over the hard break. This is my legal break. I got to go there. We're going to take a quick break and then hold that thought. We'll come back to it right afterwards. Where does God ask Jacob to build an altar? Where does God ask Jacob to build an altar? All right, we are back here on this beautiful morning in the neighborhood. We got an answer for this trivia question. Miss Mary Vincent got it correct. Again, Miss Mary Vincent got it correct. So we'll go ahead and throw out this other one. This ends our 2 week period for this $10 storehouse gift card here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio, which Miss Sierra Higdon so generously donated. So again, this ends this 2 week period, and then you're going to get in for a $10 storehouse gift card. So we'll do one more question today. So we'll at least get another one in here. In the book of Romans, mm-hmm. to what two groups of people did the Apostle Paul say he was a debtor? Oh, the first one was Bethel. Let me answer that real fast. Where does God ask Jacob to build an altar? It's Bethel. That's why, like, come on, guys, we can get this. Like, it's Bethel. Like, we know it. In the book of Romans, to what groups of people, two groups of people, did the Apostle Paul say he was a debtor? 270-257-2689. Amen. All right, Brother Rick, you remember your thought you was going to go to?
Barely, but I do remember it. This is one of the few times that I've held that thought that long.
Oh, wow.
No, but what I was thinking about is we were talking about people saying God sent them to hell or sends people to hell and this and that. God never does. But it's like people being in, you know, God sending out a boat to people. There's a refuge boat. There's a security boat. There's a saving boat that and we're in a river. And I seen this movie where this guy had found this gold, and he was holding on the gold, and he couldn't swim to the boat and get in the boat because his hands was on the gold. That's what he was holding on to. Mm. And it reminded me, and he drowns because he's so wanting to hold on to the world and not take Christ. And that's where I see a lot of people at. They're wanting to hold on to the world instead of getting in the boat and serving the Lord. God didn't send you to hell. He didn't make you drown. You chose that. You chose the world over God.
Yeah.
That's all I had.
And he said he didn't come to condemn because the sinners were already condemned.
Right, but he came to save the world.
Because we can.
That they, through him they might believe. Yeah. Yeah.
It reminds you of the scripture, if you cling to your life, you'll lose it, but if you release it, then you
lose your life.
That's right.
It. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I know we're wrapping up, not like ending, but like, you know, end of the week. Hannah, you got any Bible questions that are coming up through the week we have not got to yet?
I don't think so. Let me check.
Just want to make sure we got everything.
We did have some left for Monday, though, I think.
Yeah, we did have one or two, I think. All right, I think three is the only one we didn't get to. Yeah, what is the ministry of reconciliation mentioned in 2 Corinthians 5? Well, that ministry of reconciliation mentioned in 2 Corinthians 5, which we talked about last Sunday morning, it's a ministry of evangelism, really. It's the ministry that we're persuading others, that we are preaching the gospel, we're getting it out, we're hopefully being good laborers, bringing in the harvest. Amen. Because he is the reconciler. He's the one that is our reconciliation. We're just in the ministry of it. And our heartbeat as Christians should be reconciliation in all things, that God is a great restorer and that he can reconcile all things and he can do all things. Amen. And it is it's a joy and an honor, and it's a privilege to be able to go and share the ministry of reconciliation, which is this: Jesus died for you to have life and life more abundantly. He died for your sins to be forgiven. He's died so that you may be made whole. And it's our greatest joy to be able to tell people about the Savior who saved us. It's the ministry of reconciliation. He is the ministry of reconciliation. It's his life beat. It's his gospel. It's why he came, was for reconciliation, to reconcile us back to the Father. That's how I would see it. So anybody else?
Yeah, he does reconcile us, just like you said, by blotting out our sins with the blood. Mm-hmm. The Father, the only way, you know, the Father, when he sees us, when we become Christians, he doesn't see the sin and he doesn't see us, but he sees the blood that's been shed for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Yeah. And that is the beautiful thing of reconciliation, is where you take two different parties who are separated and you reconcile, or you pay a debt that was owed. Mm-hmm. And so often you can get into the kinsman redeemer revelation all the way back to Ruth, whenever you have a relative that redeemed the property. Mm-hmm. And that is why Jesus is called our kinsman redeemer. It's the shadow of who he is. There's a real story of Ruth, but it's a shadowing of what Jesus is going to do us for us, because he is the firstborn of what? Many brethren, and he's redeeming what was originally created for ours.
You know, they teach that on Minnow. They teach that to the kids on there.
I was shocked.
I was very impressed by that.
I'm telling you, during Bible class this week, Cloud has answered about every question that we've had.
Wow.
And he said, I learned it from Minnow.
Oh, I mean, it's really, really.
Yeah, like, because Ivy and Cloud's only allowed to watch Minnow now. And so he's learning a lot. Kaylee could tell you, he was answering every single, he
really
was like, he was finishing scriptures and knowing all the stories. And he's just, he said, they did this. And he's, I learned it from Minnow. And so
you're going to have an army of little Bible students.
We're working on it. We're training as hard as we can. And so it's even last night in the teenage class, there were some questions that I was asking that a couple of knew, but I was so proud of Jackson because he knew about every Bible question that I asked last night, and he was knowing them to the stuff that I didn't know too. There's a lot of times in Bible study at home, like, Jackson shocks me at just how much Bible he knows. Honestly, he knows a lot, and he listens
attention.
And he hears a lot. So, and he pays attention even when you don't think he is.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm just really proud of my kiddos, and they're growing in the Lord and growing in the Word, and they know a lot of Scripture. And but it's more than knowing Scripture. Like, it's one thing just to be able to quote it. I feel like they're actually kind of receiving it and getting in their hearts and
mm-hmm.
understanding the depth and the application to it. So,
amen. You think that's a trivia? It might be a trivia answer.
Yeah.
Amen. That's just so encouraging, because I think if there's one thing that us parents need to realize is that our kids are always paying attention.
Yes.
I mean, even at the age of a baby, I'm telling you, I know all babies are different, but I mean, Ezra just, Kaylee knows, she's seen him.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm praying, it's like he looks into my soul.
Yeah.
Seriously, I'll have my eyes closed,
yes.
but then I'll open them and he's just like staring, focused, and I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And I mean, same thing whenever we sing worship, but really mainly when we're praying or like reading the word or something. And it's like that their spirit knows or something. I don't
sure.
know. Because, I mean, they are innocent. And it's just amazing how they pay attention, even from a baby,
baby.
The time of that they're a baby
mm-hmm.
until they're kids and teenagers. And
well, you know, I'm up to, you know, I've told you before that I've been working out with the boys, and I'm up to five now that's working out. And I'm taking in there and trying to minister to them and spend time with them and then pray with them. And it's been really good. I've been just blessed by what God is sending.
Have any new ones joined since you mentioned
yeah.
something about
yeah.
it? Yeah,
I had two young men that joined last time from
awesome.
Last time. Yep. And it's out of the blue. And your brother told me, he said, I've got two more that want to join. Can they join? I said, well, sure. Send them out there. I keep them busy.
Awesome.
And they love it. They all seem to be enjoying it. I'll probably be with them today. And I'm looking forward to that, getting together with those guys. Some of my teaching is, you know, is lifting one another up.
Mm.
So even doesn't matter what you're doing in life, we're still to lift one another up,
mm-hmm.
encourage one another. And because we forget that we want to be encouraged. We want somebody to think that we're doing good. We
mm-hmm.
want to somebody to say, come on, you know, and help pull us along the way, especially when we're getting down and out and
yeah.
feeling weak. We want somebody to encourage us to come on up. Let me help you up. Let me give you a hand up, you know, and come on out of that. And that's some of the things that I hope that I'm training and
mm-hmm.
teaching these young men. And it's been a joy. It's a real joy that God is blessing me to have that time. I mean, you think about it, man. I mean, I'm 64 years old. And you get to work with teenagers and they like it. Hey, that's something.
Like, thank you, Lord. No, you know, I'm seeing that in just different, not just the, you know, your situation, but I'm seeing, you know, the older start to pour into the younger.
Yeah.
And it's really, I mean, I believe that's why the Lord, there's such value in that of why the scripture tells us to do that. the older men pour in the younger men, the older women pour in the younger women, because there's such fruit that comes from it.
There is. You know, how, and somebody asked me, you know, I said, you know, you seem to have a good rapport with the young people at church. And I said, that's because I go to them. And when I go to them, I go to them where they're at and not where I'm at. I don't go to them and just say, how are you doing? And then they walk away. I go to them and I sit there and I look at them and I tell them, I say, you know, when I see a group of them sitting together, I say, oh, I feel so good in this area. It's such a blessing to be in here. I feel the youth just coming off on me. And they all start laughing. And they're like, ain't no way this youth can get on you. You know? And so it brings, you know, brings laughter. And so now I've got something in common that I can talk with them about. And so they've been coming to me more because they're kind of like, well, Brother Rick's pretty open. You know, he's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not me. It's God.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the love. See, that's the love of God. When you show anybody love and that you care about them, I don't care if they're your age. I don't care if they're just a few years younger or if they're older than you. It doesn't matter. If you show people love, there's going to be an attraction there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, amen. And you're going to be able to share with them. I sold insurance a long time ago, and they said, you know, when people hear that an insurance agent is coming to their house, they hate it. They'll do everything they can do to cancel it. They'll do everything they can do to do something else, but they don't like an insurance agent coming to their house. Well, I was able to get in by the grace of God into these places, and so when I go into their house, I did not start out by saying, I'm here to sell you insurance. I started out with a rapport. I would look around, kind of around the room, not to see if their house was clean or messy or dirty or whatever. However the situation was, I wanted to see, were they into sports? Were they into fishing? Were they into hunting? You know, whatever it was, whether the wife was into Tupperware, whatever it was, you know, whatever the situation is. And I would start a conversation there. And you get a conversation going with people, and you get a rapport. So then their guard is down, not that you're trying to sell them something at that point, but they'll listen to you at that point. They're like, well, my guard is kind of down now. I'll listen to what you have to say. They have to make their own judgment on whether to buy the insurance or not. So, you know, that's the way it is in Christianity. We have to come to where people are at. When you go out and you see somebody, you don't go out and point your finger at them saying mm-hmm. you're going to hell. You go up to them in love and say, hey, I sure like that shirt you got on. Hey, you've been so happy today. I like your joy. And sooner or later, God's going to open up that door in that conversation. You're going to be able to say something about Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's an encouragement. And I feel like going even deeper with that, I feel like sometimes we're the ones who always has to say, okay, now bow your head and repeat this, you know, pray with me. But it's not the case. Like, I know that the Lord's got me in different positions, and I'm just like, okay, Lord, I'm ready to see the fruit. And it's like, well, what if you're not the one who harvests the fruit? What if you're just the one who planted the seed? Or what if you're just the one who waters it? Or maybe you're just the one that, you know, prays from a distance. But at the end of it, it's like it's you just doing what you're called to do in that moment. Mm-hmm. And I really do believe, like, the building of relationships is one of the main things to be able to show Jesus. Because more than head knowledge that I want to share with people about Jesus, I want to be able to share in the heart and the actions of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people at work, when they see me, they're like, every time I go in there, prayed up in my Jesus-filled self, it shows. Like, how are you, why are you all, like, I've got nicknames, giggly, smiley, whatever you want to call it. And then they'll start to ask. And it's like, well, you opened that door, so now you're going to hear it. But in the sense of I've lived it. Like, also, I've been vulnerable with certain ones. Because, you know, walking with Christ, it comes with, you know, trials. And it comes with, so instead of being this, you know, holier than thou kind of attitude, it's like, no. You know, I do frown sometimes, you know,
yeah.
And I do cry. And it's like, then they're like, oh, well, Jesus, I can receive him as well, because I go through the, I struggle with this, and, you know, I feel like sometimes as Christians, we're viewed as these people who have it all together, and actually we don't have it all together, and that's why we can receive Jesus. Oh, it's because we are broken vessels, and that's how he gets in, is if you're broken, is if you're soft, because if you're hard-hearted, and you feel like, he said, I didn't come to save those who thought they were saved, you know. I came to save those who knew they needed a Savior.
Yes.
So it's like being able to walk that out, and people are watching, whether you realize it or not, people are watching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's like to be able to show them the vulnerable, but also to show them that in your weakness, he's made strong.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It really is like, I want to live a life that persuades mm-hmm. both myself and others to Christ. Because if you're not persuaded, it shows.
Yeah,
and people are gonna realize that. Well, if you're not really sold out, if you're not really persuaded, how could you think you could ever tell me, or you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, Lord, that's why he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Because when you get that down, when you get rooted, it's gonna persuade others, and people are gonna take notice, and then they're gonna want what you have because you've tasted and seen, and they're like, well, apparently he done something for you, so I'm gonna need some of that now. So it's just walking it out, like my eyes on Christ. It's not about anyone else. Except for, you know, when he calls me to,
mm-hmm.
but just to live persuaded, to persuade others.
Amen.
And Kaylee, you know, you being a young person, and the motivation you have is inspiring to not only young people, but it is to people that's our age, because there's few that you see that is excited in the Lord as you are. And so that's a blessing to all that's around you. Your smile, your joy, you know, your positive attitude, that is infective. You know, it makes other people happy. Hey, how can I be sad when I've been around Kaylee, you know? She's blessed me.
Aaron.
Aaron, you stop that. she makes Aaron happy. That's why he's...
She's irritating
She's thinking you need
my
a green.
My spirit's been this.
Yeah, she's thinking you need a green bean.
I did eat green beans the other day.
Oh, did you?
Casserole?
Oh, my goodness. Hey, green bean casserole is good stuff.
We're not there yet.
Oh, okay.
Me and Kaylee's got some good broccoli casserole stories.
Yeah.
We got it on our plate, didn't we, Kaylee?
Actually, the way that Aaron has been eating is actually healthier, because, like, the casseroles aren't as healthy as just straight.
No. Yeah.
Green beans.
He said, forget the extra stuff I'm eating.
He said, I'm eating. So what the enemy used for evil, the Lord turned around for good, because he said, you know, if he's weird about textures and stuff, he's just going to end up eating the healthier stuff, because he just eats it straight without anything on it. I don't know how.
You do have to eat some cooked food now. You are going to have some cooked food every now and then. It's just how it's cooked is the thing, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
But eating just raw lettuce all the time or spinach, that's just that's really not that good for you all the time.
That's scary.
You know, it's
scary.
You know, the Bible talks about moderation. Remember that moderation?
I wonder what was the cooked. Did you eat a cooked vegetable yet?
Yeah, green beans.
Oh yeah, the green beans. Because you can't really eat a raw green bean.
Yeah. I've ate stuff in the last 2 weeks I never thought I would.
I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you remember those words that come out of your mouth one time, said, I never eat green beans or something like that. There was something similar to that you said, now you're eating green beans.
We whispered away from the microphone, never say never.
That's it, yes.
You ate the green beans and those words.
Yeah.
Well, we got about 3 minutes left on here of this day. Final words from anybody on this beautiful morning?
Hallelujah.
I just like to thank God so much. I mean, what a beautiful day, and the opportunity I have to come in here on Fridays with you guys and be able to talk. And it's always such a pleasure, because not only am I able to say what God has laid on my heart, you all speaking has inspired me on what and bless me in a lot of ways. So I just thank God for this. And amen. I thank God for the people he sent in my way. And I'm just excited to be here today.
Amen. I want to thank God for those who don't know why, just the ones who help me with baby Ezra so that I can do things and serve the Lord in different ways.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful for people, just the body of Christ, who offers that help. And I know other mothers listening that maybe can't get out, they don't have the opportunity to get out as much. Just know that the Lord, you know, maybe you're not in a place where you have a lot of help around you, but the Lord meets you where you're at.
Yeah. I was afraid people start fighting over him, though.
I know.
I want to take care of him. I want to take care of him. I want to take him on the stroller. Can I take him?
That is a benefit of being in the church and in the body. You're going to have a lot of people around you. See, people say they don't need the church, but you need the church when you have kids.
Yeah. Everybody else gets Ezra, but we offer all the time.
Oh, man.
And we never get him.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I told Ethan this yesterday. I said, I'm starting to realize I don't think you trust me with them. I've got six kids at home right now, one out of the home, and they've turned out pretty okay.
Yeah, they've done good.
You just need
good.
To grab them because everybody else just grabs them.
No. Oh, yeah. No. And when he comes to my house, every opportunity I can to take him out of Kathy's arms, I do. She'll say, can you hold him for a minute? Sure, I'll hold him.
I try not to grab babies. You know, if they just walk up to me. It's like last night I had Ivy in my hands and I was going to carry her out. Then here comes Georgia. Georgia said, hey, you got Ivy, you're getting me too. She just, so I had to carry Ivy and Georgia for a while. but they're sweet. So, all right, Kaylee.
Yes, I do have something.
All right.
This scripture has been on me since last night because, you know, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. And I just want to speak into the atmosphere because I know it's hitting right back at me. And to just stir someone else up that, you know, whatever you're going through or whatever trial you may be facing right now in this moment, continue to seek diligently the kingdom and everything else will be added to you. But joy does come in the morning.
Amen.
And to just keep pressing forward because as you press forward, everything that is not of the Lord will fall off.
Yes.
And as you continue to seek him, everything of him will fall on. So,
amen. Yeah, amen. Hannah?
Oh, mine was the thankfulness.
Oh, yes, that's right.
But also just be encouraged that today his mercies are also new every morning.
Amen.
Yeah. Yes. I forgot your thankfulness. Sorry. I remember now.
What about you, brother?
Yeah.
Well, I just want to say thank you to everybody who's helped with VBS, who's prayed for, who's been a part of it. It's been a crazy week between concrete and VBS. So thank you all for your patience this week. As one day we just couldn't do the program. We just could not swing it with our schedules and everything going on. And you guys are understanding and loving through all that. And we really do appreciate that. We honor you. We love you. May the glory of God fall on our church service this weekend.
Yes.
And may the power and the transformational glory of the Holy Spirit to fall in our lives and transform our hearts and draw us closer and make us more Christ-like every single day. Amen.
Amen.
We love you. We're praying for you, pastor, Sunday school teacher, worship leader, all those who serve in a capacity of leading the body of Christ. We're praying for you. We speak blessings over your life. Now, Mr. Miller's coming on with Mr. Bjork here in just a second to finish out this morning. But as for us, we are done this week. We'll see you Monday morning. Jason Miller's going to be with you in just a minute here on the Box 2 Radio Network.